And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
That's right, it's Oscar weekend, folks. And this is the big Spike's Car Radio Oscar show. Woo! Just kidding. We're not going to do an Oscar show. I'm just going to turn that off. I'm here at in Brentwood with Johnny Lieberman.
Hello.
And I'd like to do an Oscar show. It would be good, but I don't even watch the Oscars anymore. And I'm kind of in that business.
I haven't seen, I think I've seen one of the movies, two of the movies that are up.
I've seen quite a few of them. All right. Well, like, you know, maybe one. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I saw that.
I saw that one and All's Quiet on the Western Front, which I would give right now. I would give everything to that movie.
That was good. I saw the other one, Triangle of Sadness or whatever.
Triangle of Sadness.
Quite good movie. That's my kind of film.
I don't remember that one. What else is up? What else would we vote for in this?
Oh, The Whale?
The Whale. You know, you talk to people about any of these movies, if they happen to have seen them, and they all say the same thing. So when you ask someone about The Whale, they go, it was okay, but I cried at the end, and I cried a lot. And, you know, I don't know. Every time I ask someone about it, they say that. So I don't have to watch it because I know what my experience will be, right?
I've just heard that it's like mean to fat people. It seems to be the big knock against.
I don't know anything about the movie except that guy. What's his name?
Brandon Fraser.
Yeah,
he's some weight, and then wore like a lot of prosthetic. And I think neck.
It wouldn't surprise me if he won. It sounds like he did an amazing performance.
Sure,
but do I need to? I don't need to watch that movie, do I?
You need to watch The Triangle of Sadness. That's good.
What's that about the folks living on the yacht there? That commentary on the rich.
Yeah,
but again, I think I saw the message of the movie in the trailer.
No,
and there's a lot of vomiting in it too, right?
You would love
I would not like the vomiting.
It's vomiting and feces.
I've said this before, Johnny. This is the kind of viewer I am, and I've always been. I like to prepare my dinner. I like to get in my living room that is made into a screening room, and I like to eat. And watch well-written, well-produced, well-directed things, or South Park, one of those, just fun stuff, right?
Well,
here's the list of things that I don't need to see. I don't need to see people urinating. I don't need to see feces anymore. I mean, after Caddyshack in the pool, I get it. That was it. They did the joke. Hold on. I don't need to see women giving birth anymore unless you've got a fresh take on it somehow. Do you see what I'm saying?
Like if it's over your shoulder, it's on not, your computer?
It's no longer... That's right. My oven. It's no longer edgy to me to do any of that stuff. I don't need to see heads blown off. I just tell me a good story.
I'm mostly with you except for... The scene where the feces and the puking is happening is wonderful.
That is not something.
The movie's basically there's three parts to it.
Why are we even talking about it? I don't want to hear about it. There are folks they don't want to hear about urine and feces.
I'm
right
just
now.
Saying there's this.
Zuckerman's not even here. And look at where we're at.
I'm here.
It's because of you. I don't even want to talk about the Oscars. I want to talk about cars. And I'll tell you my big Oscar plans. I do have Oscar plans.
I have
right?
No plans. Go ahead.
And the folks listening know that my day job is in entertainment. But they probably make a lot of assumptions. I've been invited to nothing. Zero things. And I wouldn't have gone anyways. I like to be invited, but I don't really want to go anywhere.
Sure.
I have to go somewhere and I don't even want to go. My plans are, I think you probably can guess, what I do every Sunday night. I play tennis.
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 Tennis, tennis, more tennis. We were rained out last week. I went to see my neighbor perform at the Disney Concert Hall, Zubin Mehta. He invited me, and I went to that performance at 2:00. It was Mahler's Third Symphony.
That's a good one.
It's a 90-minute performance. It was an incredible thing to behold. About an hour in, I was thinking, this is going to be a great day because I have this. I've enriched myself culturally. and then I'm going to play live ball tonight, and I'm going to hurt myself physically. Like, that's a perfect day for me, a perfect Sunday. Well, we got rained out. We got rained out.
You're not getting rained out tomorrow, but you will get rained out if you try and play Tuesday or Wednesday.
And man, and I Zubin invited me and Erica backstage to meet him after his performance. What a party. Sunday at 2 p.m., it was going off, right? Normally, I don't do drugs, but I thought, what the hell?
Right.
This place is going off.
And what, Angel Dust, what were you doing?
Ah, man, I shouldn't really talk about it, but that guy knows how to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a swell guy, I mean, really fun and an amazing performance. And, you know, 86. What are you doing if you're over 80, listener? This guy's 86 and he's crushing it. He walks out and standing ovation and one of eight standing ovations.
Wow.
He gets up there for an hour and a half and jams. It's impressive.
Yeah.
Not me and my stand-up buddies. It's the same gig. Like, you're walking out there, you're doing a performance. After an hour and a half, you go back, you say hi to some friends, you have a sandwich, you get out of there. And George Schlatter was there, the producer of Laughing.
Oh.
He was hanging out backstage.
Okay.
It was cool. I did enjoy it.
What drugs was he doing?
Everything. Everything that was given to him. I gave him magic mushrooms. He just snorted them. And
that's a good way to do psilocybin is nasal.
Then I said, come on, let's smoke some of this WD-40 in a pipe. He said, what? It's what the kids are doing. We're huffing paint. Let's do some of that. It was wild. It got out of control.
Hey, man.
Anyway.
Good stuff.
Let's do a car show.
Yeah.
My show is all over the place here. By the way, there was a South Park clip I wanted to play.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yes.
Let me see if I can find it real quick, because I think you, the listener...
You texted it to us.
...will enjoy it. Did I send it to you? Here it is right
Ian
here.
Ian Zuckerman.
Here, hold on. Let me see. You know my relationship with ChatGPT. You know that I was using it to improve my relationship with my wife until she caught me.
She just came up to me and was acting all hurt because she thinks I don't care about her.
This is last week's South Park.
Huh? When she said that she wishes I would reply to her text the way that Clyde responds to Bebe, so, like, how do you do it? Chat GPT, dude. Chat GPT? Yeah, dude. There's a bunch of apps and programs you can subscribe to that use OpenAI to do all your writing for you. People use them to write poems, write job applications, but what they're really good for is dealing with chicks. Here, check it out. There's tons of Chat GPT apps for your phone. So then I can take whatever latest dumb thing Bebe texted me, I copy it, then I open the GPT app, click respond to, paste her text here, hit write, it just thinks for a second. You would look great with any length of hair, trying a new look could be fun. Copy that.
See, it's...
...into messages and send it off. It's super easy and convenient, and it saves me a ton of time because she texts me so goddamn much.
So perfect. So perfect. And... You know, on Valentine's Day, I did it. I used it, and she called me out on it, and that she was really kind of...
How'd she catch you?
Huh?
How'd she catch you?
She said, did ChatGPT write this? And I said, I looked her in the eyes, and I said, you bet, like that.
But what made her think it was not you?
It was way too flowery and wonderful and nice.
Like, okay.
Yes.
Your hair looks great at any length?
No. You know, I don't even remember what it was, but it was, you know, being with you is, you know, it was a ChatGPT love letter.
A bold-faced lie is what
it
is.
And again, this is where I get into trouble. I always like to tell the person what I'm doing. I should not have said a word, and I would have been completely fine. This happened back in the day with a Seinfeld story. Hello, you know that story?
Yeah,
it was inspired by this writer's room joke about how my girlfriend at the time's ass would wake up in the middle of the night while she was still asleep and would talk to me. It would go, hello, hi, Spike. And it was learning how to speak. And Jeff Schaefer and I would riff on it just to warm up in the writer's room, you know, distractions. Hello, la, 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 A, B, C, F. And you teach it how to
talk.
And then I stupidly went home a few days later. So we're doing this really funny thing
about Seinfeld, your ass.
About your ass, yeah. And that was the end of that relationship. And Jerry's like, "Are you a moron? You told her." I told her here, and this is how I got out of it. I said, "Let's compare cards. All right, you wrote something very nice in your card to me, but look at it next to mine."
Yeah.
Whose is better? Who's? But she goes, I wrote it. And I said, I know, but mine is better. and I rewrote ChatGPT. What do you think, Johnny? Am I wrong?
I want to know, back to the first girl with the ass. Why was she upset? It's kind of like that's, it's kind of historic.
Because here's what I've learned about my job. You can't really explain what the writer's room is like and why the whole psychology of what you're doing in there, right, and the pressure you feel and staying on point when you're working a script and blowing off some steam by saying things that are non sequiturs that are completely wrong. You know, you're trying to make each other laugh to kind of cool the room off a little bit. You don't even know you're doing it. You can't explain that. Secondly, it's to say to anyone, we're laughing about your ass in the Seinfeld writer's room at the height of the fame of this cultural phenomenon.
Right.
I'm already underground. And then I'm going, no, we're not. She goes, you're making fun of me. No, we're not making fun of you.
You have a great ass.
She's a gorgeous girl.
Right.
A beautiful, gorgeous girl, wonderful girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't get back from that. There's no coming back from this stupidity.
Right.
Here, the same thing. But I was feeling kind of bad until somebody sent me this South Park clip and I went, well, there you go. This was this gentle reminder of why I'm a comedy writer. These types of things that I throw towards the normal side of my life, people get upset about, I then bring into the comedy realm and it turns into entertainment. Now, I didn't write this.
Right.
Nor do I think these guys heard me. It is one of those things in the comedy world these days.
You don't think Matt and Trey listened to the show?
He's a neighbor. He lives down the street, but no. Okay. It's entirely possible, but having done this for a very long time, I see people coming up with the same point of view jokes all the time. It happens all the time.
I wrote a car review using ChatGPT, and there's a couple. I wrote it in December. We didn't get around to posting it until February.
Right.
But a couple other people did the same thing. It's not rocket science. Yeah. So.
It is rocket science, and I think they stole it.
Matt Parker and Trey Stone.
They're the funniest, by the way. That show is just so good and so fast on its feet.
Closet fans of Spike's Car Radio.
Oh, my God. No, I was validated.
Right.
Not in the normal world where I'm a cad and continue to be and always will be, and Erica will be right to do that. But frequently, comedy people like myself are kind of in that space. Like I'll call my comedy friends and I'll tell them that story. They'll love it. And they'll go, well, of course, that's hilarious. Right. You should do something with that.
Be more oafish.
I tell my mom, she goes, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. It's funny. I know what you're saying. Cause like I'll tell, sometimes I've stopped completely, but I'll try and tell my wife something funny that happened at Spike's Car Radio.
No.
And it's just always misinterpreted. Like, yes. You said what about me? No.
No. Don't ever.
Ever. No, never. And she doesn't listen, so I'm safe.
I know. We've done how many shows? 300 shows, and our wives aren't listening to this. Thank God. You know, my mom is listening. Hi, Mom. And my brother, Wally. Hi, Wally.
Hey, Wally.
They're always listening. So I do have some ears on that side of the family. I have to watch what I say. Watch what I say. Be very careful. Let's do. We got plenty of car talk for you guys. Lots of things going on. But let me do an ad. We only have two ads today, too. Today's show is sponsored in part by the makers and fixers of Snap-on. The makers and fixers keep the world moving. They're the backbone of the world. Whether we're talking about manufacturing, customizing, restoration, performance, or maintenance, I know a lot of makers and fixers. Like the ones who worked on my Series 2A and got it into perfect shape for this rain. How about you guys? Are you a maker? Are you a fixer? And who are your favorite makers or fixers besides yourself, of course? The makers and fixers, they not only made your car, they keep it running and help you make it awesome. Theirs is not just a job, it's a calling. They want to hear from you. Snap-on, that is, wants to hear from you. Share your story about yourself. Share your story about your favorite mechanic. Go to makersandfixers.com/spikescarradio, makersandfixers.com/spikescarradio, or send your story to Makers and Fixers account on Instagram, makersandfixers.com/spikescarradio. And then your friend's story of that big save they made may get on the Snap-on site. There you go. Doug. Where should we start? There's Johnny, you have a lot of news.
I have everything. What
you
do
have
you want?
A ton of things going on. Well, first I want to hear about Amelia Island.
Yes. Now it's called The Amelia because Haggerty owns everything, including Amelia Island, The Amelia.
So they own the event now?
Yeah.
They didn't own the event before?
No. And they kicked this is the scuttlebutt. So RM is like suing Haggerty because Haggerty has this auction thing called Broad Arrow, and like I'm probably gonna get involved in the lawsuit by saying this, but like 27 employees were hired away from RM to go work for Broad Arrow. They're suing each other to death. But now the big auction there is Broad Arrow. It used to be RM inside the Ritz-Carlton. But the real news is two things. One, there's a great show. It's called The Hangar. And it's by the people that do The Bridge. Jeff Einhorn.
I don't know any of this stuff. Is this car content?
Yeah, it's car content. It's the best car show I've been to since like the original Luft.
It's a live car show.
It's The Hangar. And it's just like Rob Sass said it best. And we walked in, he goes, if my car guy brain just puked up like everything I like about cars onto a runway, that's this show.
It's another puke reference. Yes. I'm sure they love you comparing their event to puke.
They liked it. It was a big time. But Jeff Einhorn and Shamin Abbas, they do The Bridge in the Hamptons, which supposedly,
I heard it's great.
I've never been. I hear it's great.
Yep.
And so now they have this The Hangar, and they're going to actually move that around the country. And they had a architect come and arrange the cars and the airplane. So like just like Luft, everywhere you point your phone, you're amazed at what you're seeing.
Wow. So it's curated, beautiful things, beautiful colors.
Just great cars, just absolutely fantastic cars. That was cool. And then turns out Spike's Car Radio is very popular with the attendees of The Amelia.
That's nice.
I had one guy in particular, Trent, if you're listening. Trent's a huge fan, and I had to tell Zuckerman anecdotes all night long. I was like, too bad we can't broadcast what he actually says.
I took Zuckerman to Amelia for the Car Matchmaker episode in which Jerry's collection went up, I believe.
Oh, right.
And I think Paul was bidding on one of the cars. I can't remember. I don't think he bought anything. I don't remember that episode. But yeah, there's a whole... That was Zuckerman's entry point to entertainment, was a Car Matchmaker episode. If you can find it, look it up. I think it's probably on Amazon. It'd be worth looking at a terrified Zuckerman. And we had so much fun. That was such a great trip. I haven't gone back because it was such a good trip. It was like a perfect... I hadn't been to Amelia before. It was a great weekend. We worked in the day. We hung out at night. David Gooding, we hung out with him.
Oh, I love David.
The whole crew was there. I may have seen you there, but I didn't know you. I remember seeing Magnus over in the corner and our other buddies. And we just had such a nice time.
It was that much fun again. I probably go to Amelia every 5 years, and that's enough. But yeah, we should. I mean, we have a fan base there. So... if we wanted to, I don't know, put together a podcast at, probably get it done at The Hangar show or something like that, we could make it work.
I'm trying to figure out these live. We're getting asked a lot to do a lot of different things. You and I have been talking about something that kind of makes sense. That's more of a gathering without putting much of a show on, but an appearance and cigars and drinking and making it kind of a fun thing. I don't know. And, I'm talking to Patrick Long about Lufka Cult again.
Oh, good.
And, I think he may just come on and, promote it this time rather than us get up there.
Yeah.
There's Rensport.
Oh, that's
there's just a ton. I mean, I would love to go on tour.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yes.
When I had time. But there's no way we could extricate Zuckerman from his daily banana peel lawyer lawsuit.
He could fly in. If you told him like, hey, you get to go on like 4 private jets this week, he'd be like, oh, hey.
He barely made it driving back from San Diego yesterday.
What was his mom is not letting him be on today or something?
No, his wife.
Oh, but he's he wanted us to lie about.
He's underwater with all sorts of family. Right. By the way, so am I. I am, not to digress out of car talk, which I was enjoying. But this has been my Wednesday. Is when the real stress of my life began, and it's yet another victory for me.
Oh,
but I was picking up the oldest kid there from his lacrosse game. Right? How'd the game go?
How'd the game go?
Good. And we're driving back from the Palisades Wednesday. and hearing all about the game. He's going on, and it's very exciting to hear. I love hearing about these the kids in sports. Then he goes, then he starts coughing, and I go, "Hey, are you sick?" At 8 o'clock Wednesday night, he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm sick." I roll the windows down in the old Tesla. He goes, "What are you doing?" I go, I'm trying to calculate how much time I've spent with you since how long you've been sick." He goes, "Oh, yeah, he went skiing with his friend in Utah."
Oh.
I asked him to wear a mask on the plane.
Oh, yeah, right.
Teenager, nope, we're not going to do it. Right. He goes, "Yeah, we were basically sick last Friday." And then, but he goes, "Saturday was the worst of it." And in Utah, and I'm going, he was back Monday. He's from the airport, hanging with him. Tuesday, breakfast, goes to school, but dinner, hanging with him. How's the ski trip? Blah, blah, blah. Wednesday, breakfast. Wednesday night, drive home. Lots of exposure.
And so he has COVID, is what you're saying.
We that night, he goes, "Yeah, it's just a little cold." I test him. We're all eating dinner there. Erica's out somewhere. She comes home. She goes, "Whose test is this?" Oh. I forgot I had just given him a test. Double reds.
Oh.
Banger. I'm like, "Ah!" We're all sitting together again. Everybody scrambles. Yet here I am. Here I am now, again.
When's the last time you tested?
Today.
Oh, and you're negative?
Just negative, negative, negative.
Great. Wow.
But my wife is dragging me to a giant, hermetically sealed fundraising drinking event tonight.
What about the other kid?
He's fine.
And your wife doesn't have it either?
She's had it twice.
No. Doesn't have it from the older one.
I guess not.
God.
No, everybody's tested, okay. But you're going to test every single day. Everybody feels fine.
Okay. Hey.
But Jesus.
Look,
I didn't make the bet. Last week that we were talking about, because I know I'm the writing's on the wall.
10,000
right?
is a big bet.
I feel like I've got this far, and I'm pretty certain that I'm going to be like the rest of folks I've been hearing about. My little group of super Dodgers is getting very, very small right now.
You're like the last one. My I had one buddy who just got it, and someone else just got it. Like, you're the last.
It feels weird. It feels, you know what I mean. Yeah. It's like you're going back. It's not even interesting anymore.
No. That was the other, it was a thing in Amelia, was everyone's like, "I love the shows. Yeah, it's not coming, blah, blah. Let's talk about COVID too much." I'm like, "Shut up, Florida."
Look, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the bet.
We're
grand. Talking about money.
Ten grand.
Deciding whether to do this. I told my wife, she goes, you're not doing that. I'm not allowing this anymore. She goes, "I don't like this."
I did not tell my wife about the $100 bet, because that would upset her.
Yeah. So. What is the $100 bet? What is our bet?
Cadillac, Porsche, Le Mans.
Oh, now that is very interesting.
Scott Dixon chimed in.
He did. And what did he have to say?
He was just like basically like, you know, good on you, Johnny.
Now I've made Scott Dixon my enemy.
No,
and
no,
I don't
no.
want him to be that
no,
way.
No.
But, you know, the feedback that I heard from our listeners was split.
Okay.
They were laughing that I am not into Cadillac, and what's wrong with that? And look, I've always loved that brand. I grew up in a place where that was the premier brand.
Sure.
It's just when it comes to Le Mans, I'm a Porsche fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Porsche fan. That's it.
It's funny, because at Le Mans, I'm Corvette fan, because I've been to Le Mans a few times.
That's creepy.
No, the Corvettes rule. So the French, you know, they don't have a team, right? So the Corvette, which is by far the best-sounding vehicle at Le Mans, they just cheer for the yellow Corvettes, and it's awesome. It's like all the other
history,
cars.
There's no history there.
What? The Corvettes dominated the 2000s.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, who's,
huge.
Who's
winning.
Making movies about that?
Well, I don't. GM, Chevy. I don't know.
I would go to Ford before I would go to Corvettes.
Oh, but Corvettes they were dominant. I mean, Johnny. Johnny O'Connell. I mean, you know, like, I think he's the winningest American in the history of Le Mans.
It's all, like all baseball. Corvettes. You have favorite teams.
Yeah. That's saying. But I saw the Cadillac. Anyways, I heard that a lot of people are like, Cadillac's a lame brand. How can you like it? And so it'll be a good bet. It'll be a good bet.
Well, I'll watch to see what happens.
I'm going to try and go.
But it's a good way of putting it. Cadillac's a lame brand. right now. They are a lame brand. They are a lame brand. I'm sorry. What? It's not my fault. That's what I think when I hear them. Why don't they do something that makes them not lame? Let them win at Le Mans and maybe they won't be so lame.
The Black Wings are cool.
They're cool cars.
Yeah, so.
But that's it's all. More. You're more than just one car. You're a vibe.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Totally agreed.
What else do we have here? Have you seen this video? This video, speaking of American cars, really makes me laugh.
No way.
See if I can play it right here. This is thieves stealing six sports cars from a Kentucky dealership. They're all Hellcats.
Yeah.
In under 45 seconds. It's amazing. Here they are coming in.
That's so good. I like how they're like creeping low, even though they're totally on camera.
So there are three cars. One guy tries to change a license plate really quick, gives up on that. They just walk. How did they do this? How did they just get in?
You can clone the keys. They have like a digital device that like unlocks.
I know, but
the
there are six. How do you clone all six?
Because Stellantis has weak security on
Stellantis.
The car.
Stellantis.
Or they stole the keys. I mean, the keys are physically at the dealership.
I think they must have. They made off with six brand new Hellcats in just under 40 seconds, which I think means they should be able to keep those cars.
Totally.
Okay, here's what happened. They came in through the rear door. They had some they had some kind of idea how our security system worked, it looked like. So it's an inside job. Bryant believes it took at least seven people 40 seconds to drive off with six Hellcats. Bryant must be the dealership manager, yes. They were gone 20 seconds before the alarm started to go off. It's great. The response time of the police was like 3 minutes. These guys really did a good job.
Hey, man. I mean, a Hellcat and you get a Hellcat. And
you know what I mean?
Hellcat?
If you're going to do an act of violence or even a crime, if it's inspired and it's, you know, you get the people on your side. And I think in this case, they kind of did, except for what they did later. Five of the cars were recovered almost immediately, with one in a neighboring town and several as far away as different states. At least one vehicle was a total loss. So they were just hooning these things?
I guess.
Hellcats in particular are like catnip to car thieves. What is that? Doesn't even make sense. Catnip to cats? What does that mean? Last year, the feds busted a ring responsible for it. So I don't even know what their motive was, but it sounds like it was inspired fun.
Do you know Christy Lee? She's on that like all girl garage. She's a friend of mine, but she had her Hellcat stolen from her garage. The guy had a cloning device, and I guess it means you're nearby when like she unlocks and locks the car, and it gets the signal or near the key. And she had it all on her security camera. She left it in her driveway, and the dude was in and out in like 30, 40 seconds. It was wild.
So you can pick up that signal like when you're adding it to your home.
I don't know exactly, but
it makes sense.
Yeah.
You're taking your little remote and you're putting it up against your rear view
or
mirror.
Or they followed her and it was like in her purse or whatever, and like they got close to her and they were able to get the RDIF frequency and started the car up and left.
This was another one that really made me laugh. These guys doing this podcast. This is all Uncle Lopnik here. They're in. They appear to be in a diner doing a podcast. Nathan and Alexi. I don't know what their podcast is. I haven't seen it.
Hopefully, it's about cars.
But they're facing away from the lot.
And a big SUV just rams through the glass.
Yeah, and it comes up behind them and just rams them and hits them. It's so good. Okay, the car bashes the glass. They're both fine. They get up. One starts checking his phone to take pictures. They have such a great moment.
Just keep talking.
Keep talking.
That's right.
Somebody has to say, what the fuck just happened?
I think we got all the audio on there.
I think we got all the audio on there. No, guys, guys.
Stevie wondered, that is his best record.
You've got to broadcast through the accident. Don't stop and take your phones. Go, what the F just happened to us?
Interview the driver.
What's going on? Keep rolling. It's your most interesting show just happened. You guys are, you just popped. I'm talking about you. Reeves and Reyes. And they stopped recording. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. I don't listen to their show. But thankfully, they're all fine.
Lots of good car crashes this week. You see the two Ferraris in Italy?
I did.
That was also
the listeners
good.
Are great. They send a lot of great stuff. I saw that one before it hit. Somebody in Italy sent it to me.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I wasn't going to talk about it, but it was funny to watch.
Yeah. Just good week for theft and crashes.
Yes. And speaking of which, something I didn't know last when you were talking to us. In this article in Motor Trend, so I drove off an F1 track in a $3 million hypercar.
Yes.
You failed to mention this.
Well, I couldn't really talk about the car.
The Valkyrie.
The Valkyrie.
But you did talk about the car on our show.
No, I said I went. I couldn't give any driving impressions or anything until March 6th.
You couldn't say you crashed?
I didn't crash.
What happened?
I drove off the track. It's a great story. I'll tell it right now. Okay, so I'm the only American who gets to drive the car.
Yes.
So I'm talking to...
And by the way, I watched your video and I thought it was great.
Thank you.
I stayed with it the whole time. I loved it.
Thanks.
It was really fun.
And I
love the details about the wafer-thin doors and the lightness and the rest of it. You guys can go see that.
Thank you very much. No drama in that.
We want to hear about how you crashed it.
Yeah. So Street Kev is the head of PR for Aston Martin.
Yes.
So his name's Kevin. We'll call him Street Kev. And I go, who else is driving the car? And he's like, oh, Chris Harris, blah, 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 and Supercar Blondie, who's a friend of mine.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, cool. Her name's Alex. I go, how'd Alex do? And he goes, 325 kilometers an hour, no problem, which is fast. That's like 220 or something like that.
How big is this straightaway?
Right. That's a great question. So it's about 4,000 feet. So I was like, I'm just such a toxic prick. I'm like, I got to beat Supercar Blondie, right?
So 4,000 feet, a little under a mile.
So,
which is going to come up on you quick anyway.
So the other thing I should mention is when we were doing the lead follow to learn the track, Darren Turner, who's the pro driver, he goes, look, you're on street tires. You're not on slicks. So the braking points on this track are for F1 cars. So do not brake there. Brake 100 feet earlier. So in your head, make up a virtual braking point.
And the braking points are marked how?
It says 150, 150. So I forget if it's meters or feet or whatever it is.
So those, just ignore those and stop before them.
Yeah. So in other words,
they didn't throw up orange cones like they will sometimes do to help you?
No. Nothing like that. So, you know, and I'm everything's great, having a good time, except that I'm at the end of the straight, you know, I'm looking at my speed and I'm like, you know, 295. I'm like, I'm not 325. And I'm like, I must beat woman. Right. So I'm flying on this one. I just full, you know, letting it go, shifting exactly at 10,500. Mm-hmm. That's max horsepower. And I see 305 and I keep my foot in it as I'm looking up and I'm passing 100 feet further from where I should have started hitting the brakes.
Oh no.
So I think I probably hit like 310, which is 190 miles an hour.
Wow.
But I'm done. I'm done for at that point. So I go to hit the brakes and there's no way. Luckily it's an F1 track, so it's paved like a quarter mile past the turn.
And which way are you turning?
To the right. It's like a 110 degree right hander. And I just, you know, I go a couple hundred feet off the track. No problem because it's totally paved. No one even saw me do it. But I get back in there and I'm like, how the hell did she get up to 325?
Yeah.
And Kevin goes, oh yeah, as a passenger in the track only AMR Pro, she had no problem going 325.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the hot laps in the pro car on the slicks is insane.
I see. Yeah.
So it was a
miscommunication.
Yeah.
And so then did you end up with the record speed?
I know I beat Mike Duff, who drove for Car and Driver, but he probably made the
Harris?
Turn. I have no idea. Probably not. He's a pretty good driver.
Yeah, I mean, does that count? You didn't make the turn.
Well, I did go very fast.
Unbelievable. John.
Yeah, but a crazy extreme car. My question remains, like, my rich asshole friends who are buying them, what the hell are they going to do with this thing? It's just too much for...
You have friends who are buying this car?
I have several friends. I know at least four. I know four people that are getting Valkyries.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm getting three of them.
I know a guy that got three. I met him at
Pebble. He bought three.
Well, he bought one, then he wanted the convertible, and they said, if you want the convertible, you got to buy the track-only one. So he said, okay, what's another $4 million? I'll just buy that one.
Hmm.
Yeah. Real money, Spike.
Wow. I'm going to make some real money right now by talking about our next partner, Athletic Greens. You guys know I take AG1 every day, literally every day, to help me on the tennis court. And that's why I did it. Gut health, forehand health, serving health, increased energy, and backhand, one-handed backhand strength.
You notice I don't take it every day, so I drive off racetracks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should start because it would have helped you.
It would have really helped.
It's hard for me to keep up with a supplement routine that comes with a bunch of different products. Very quickly, I noticed it helps me with improved digestion. Hair and skin feels great. Clipping my nails all the time. It helps my sleep, too. Why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder in water once a day? AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without a lot to do. It's the healthiest thing you can do in under a minute. And if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/spike911. athleticgreens.com/spike911. And check it out. You want to help us? The way to help the show is really simple. Visit our sponsor sites.
Yes. And
if you like their products, buy them. Did I mention every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins? No, I didn't. There you go. Now you know. All right.
All right.
There's more. There's
more
so much
cars.
More. I posted a picture of the GT4 RS in Oslo Blue yesterday.
You got another picture.
You get three at once, but I kind of saved the last one, I just thought it was too much. You parse it out, right? And
it's slow drip.
It's still not done. I see you going to look at it
I'm
right now.
I'm going to look at it.
I was posting about how it's going to Clearwater Porsche arrange for the car to be delivered at the Porsche Experience Center in L.A., and I said how I'm going to take that thing out, and what a perfect way to put the first miles on it. And I've been told I won't get to take it on there by the listeners, that there's a break-in period, and they'll let you drive a car like it. I'm probably not going to do that. I would like to take my car around there. I don't consider the Porsche Experience Center track really a real racetrack. It's an experience track where you can take some turns at speed. But it started an interesting comment argument about break-in periods on these cars.
Ooh,
break-in periods.
Okay.
And
I'm going to say...
say what about what? Let me tell you what it says.
1,000 miles for that engine. 1,000 miles.
Let me tell you what
5,000 RPM. Go ahead.
718 Cayman GT4 RS. The moving parts of a new vehicle must be run in, and I'm going to tell you my theories on all this because this isn't my first new car. Okay.
Okay.
The parts require the first 1,875 miles.
Whoa.
The oil and fuel consumption may be somewhat higher. This is the break-in period they're recommending. Avoid high engine speeds of 4,000 RPM or more. Drive at low engine speeds when the engine is cold. Preferably take long trips. Avoid frequent cold starts with short distances as much as possible. These one size fits all. Now, the first time I really thought about this, my first new car was a Boxster, right? And whatever the break-in period was for that, I followed it to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year later, I bought a 993 C2S, Dunkelblau, and a paint to sample right from the president. Back when you couldn't really get paint to sample, it was a favor that Mr. Seinfeld asked on my behalf. And
this was a new 993
C2S, brand new, wow. Last of the air cooled.
Yeah,
right,
very last,
incredible car.
Yeah.
And as I was picking it up, Bert Olander down at Circle Porsche, who, was selling cars to Steve McQueen back in the day, I said, Bert, this break-in period. And he looked at me and he goes, and he shrugs. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, they say these things. I go, well, what do I really need to do? He goes, yeah. And he said, you don't want to, and this was the 993, you don't want to get on the highway and drive over 7,000 RPMs for an hour. He goes, you want to pop it? You want to have a little fun while you're in the breaking period? You're going to be just fine. I found that to be very good advice. And now, as these new cars come up, you hear what I'm saying. It depends on the car, but you don't have to observe these breaking periods obsessively. If you pop it up, or your foot falls off the clutch and it revs up, you don't have to worry that you're dead. You're not going to void your warranty. You don't have to worry about anything. And you're not going to hurt your engine, by the way. If the engines were that fragile, popping up over 7,000 RPMs or whatever it is, and it breaks the car, it's ridiculous. So off to Renlist, where I find my resident group of idiots.
Uh-oh.
And
I have a different opinion.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
But immediately found in the GT4 RS break-in period, which I love just reading about. And by the way, I don't know who any of these guys are. How are you guys breaking in your car? It is just don't rev over 5,000 to 6,000 RPM for 1,000 miles, or is it 3,000 to 4,000 RPM, then move slowly up for there? I believe it's under 7 for 932 miles. So none of these guys have this quite right yet. Any truth in the rumor that I heard that if you go over 7, which can be checked at your first service, it's going to affect your warranty? Can you imagine if that happened? Of course,
well,
Cafe Racer says no. Salesperson took me for a ride. Here's another guy. Took me for a 20-minute ride in the RS yesterday. Car had 120 kilometers on the clock, and he redlined it a couple of times. Here, and then let's go down here. Hits for best performance, blah, 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 blah. I was told by my SA. What is SA?
Service advisor.
Service advisory. Just skip the break-in period. Doesn't matter. Have 200 kilometers on the clock. Might go to the track tomorrow. I'm with that guy right there. Several of these guys are saying, I've also heard from my friend PCNA, don't worry about it on this car. Third person, don't worry about it on GT3s and GT4s. They've told us numerous times at PMNA. What is PMNA? Porsche Motorsports North America.
Motorsports.
That the GT3s and the GT4 Club Sport, there is no running in period.
I just remember on the launch of that motor, which was the 991.2 GT3, Preuninger said 1,000 miles, 5,000 RPM or under.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
He has been one of my past sources. I have not asked him about this car.
Check with him.
Those guys are usually the last word in this stuff. And what I found to be true, and I am not saying I know what this car is, but by the time this thing gets delivered, I'll know exactly what it is. Is there is this one size fits all thing that is a little too conservative. And in general, with these new cars, in general, and again, I don't know if it's this car, but in general, having a little fun with your new car for 30 seconds is not going to ruin your engine.
So
it never has. I've been doing it since the 993 days. I've never had a problem.
Just two things.
I needed a new engine in my 996 GT3. But that was because I was on a racetrack and I wasn't supposed to be there.
The only two things I'd say is apparently because this motor has solid lifters, they do need 1,000 miles of break-in. And the other is, I'm forgetting what I was going to say. So go ahead.
I don't know that I've met anybody who had a problem with their engine in a new car, and then Porsche said, you didn't observe the break-in period in it.
Well, they can tell you exactly when you do over revs. I mean, they can black box everything.
I don't know anybody who said, your car's under warranty. They're going to fix it. I mean, obviously, you want to take care of your car, and you want it to be a good investment, and we always do that. We always err on the side of what's reasonable.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. So press cars, when press cars show up,
yeah,
there's a hidden off-menu option called press miles.
Right.
It's 10,000 euros. It's what it costs, Porsche North America. And they have interns in Germany take them out of the factory, do the break-in period, so that when journalists get their hands on them, they can immediately go right to redline and not blow the thing up.
Wow.
So, yeah, it is. I don't know if you can get on your car, but, I've checked. I've seen a lot of Monronis for press cars where there's, press miles.
My plan is to just take it out on the track and enjoy it. That does not mean I'm going to pin the tack. I'm not going to be pushing the car and stuff, but I am going to drive it out there if I can drive it. It's the perfect place to do it. Am I going to take it to Willow and bang on it? Nope. Not until the break-in period is done.
Seriously.
Am I going to rev up on the 405 a couple of times just to hear the engine? Yes, I am. After the engine is warm, I'm going to do that. Because my experience is nothing happens to my engine after that.
Oh, this engine's going to blow.
Good. That's fine.
Okay. I think they're right, though.
I really am fine if my engine blows. I've had it happen before. I'm like, okay, I survived.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you just get another engine. I think they're right, though, that like you will not be able to take your car brand new without the braking miles on it to the track.
Well, what I said, because it's being delivered on the track, is I'm going to drive it on the track.
And they said?
I haven't called them or talked to them yet. Okay. It's not. I don't think it's scheduled till May. But it's a little anticlimactic for me to take a delivery down at the Porsche Experience Center and then not get on the track. What are we doing down there? If you see what I'm saying?
Hey, man. And you're right. It is a little baby.
If their concern is, hey, you're going to hurt your car, I'll go, okay, I'll be sure not to do that.
Right.
But
right.
I'd like to take it around because it was delivered here. What is the point of the delivery here if I'm not going to get to drive it there? And maybe I'll listen to what you're saying and I'll abide by that.
Yeah, just be aware, I believe the Experience Center is like a different business unit than like Porsche. So they don't...
That's not my problem.
Well, they'll just be like, the answer is no.
And no, they've done some wonderful things for us before.
All right.
Like for, you know, you remember Bill? Sure. Remember Bill?
Which Bill?
Bill, the Malibu Kitchen.
Yeah, I know Bill.
He really...
He was texting me today.
He really, really wanted to drive a GT3 RS. And they don't... They, at the time, weren't doing that down there. But they did for us.
Oh, nice.
For his birthday, we took him down there. Zuckerman and Jerry and I. And Dean Maroney, who helped as well. And they brought a bunch of GT3 RSs out there. And we had a great day.
Okay.
Fantastic well,
you might
day.
You might need Jerry to intervene.
That one, I think, was really Dean Maroney.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
They take care of the dealers over there. But, yeah.
Bill thought I was Jerry the other day. Did I tell you this story?
I'm sorry?
I drove Pat Long's 912.
Oh.
That's the one that Bill desperately wants to buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sent him a picture of it. And then he's like, blah, blah, blah. He's talking to me as if I'm Jerry Seinfeld. I'm like, it's Johnny. Not Jerry.
Oh, yeah. That's because that happens on my phone, too, because the J, you only see the J on the text thread.
Well, it's, and the way I don't have an H.
So I have Z and J, and I don't know if I'm texting you and Jerry or,
oh, right,
or I mean,
right,
you right. and Zuckerman or was, Jerry and Zuckerman. And
it was just funny. I'm like, I'm not Jerry Seinfeld.
It doesn't matter. Don't correct him. You don't have to correct anybody. I don't. People can say whatever they want. They're just like, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Nope. That's right. I'm Frank Sinatra. Thanks, Mom. Good for you. This is more Porsche news, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say we weren't reporting Porsche news, because this one had me a little upset. This is a story about, look at this headline.
Okay.
911 GT2 RS reportedly going hybrid with 919 sourced tech.
Yeah.
A hybrid.
Okay.
What does that mean? An electrified engine married to a GT2? 2RS, and that, you know, that is something I heard from our friends at Porsche last time I was there. They were like, don't sell your GT2 RS.
Right.
This car will never happen again.
Right.
And look.
Well, the Valkyrie, that's a hybrid, you know. Thousand,
no, I know.
1,001 horsepower V12 and a hybrid motor. Which
but I was so excited about non-hybrid GT2 RS.
Ah, well, you know.
The purity of that car. I mean, that's one of the most amazing things.
So I drove that Ferrari 296, which you got to get your hands on. You just got to get your
hands on. I forget the lady's name.
Yeah, you got to get your hands on it. And it was one of the most brilliant things. I pulled in to up on Angeles Crest. I saw Magnus. I got out of the car. I looked at him. I'm like, enough with the fucking Porsches, man. Ferrari. And he's like, oh, mate, I have a Ferrari. I know. And like they built a better GT2 RS with this 296. And all these people are coming to me. They're like, don't you wish they made a non-hybrid version of it so it was lighter? And I'm like, that's how I know you've never driven a 296, because it's literally perfect as is.
Yeah.
So I think this will be just great. I don't think it's going to hurt anything.
Going hybrid adds weight, Johnny.
You won't notice the weight. And Porsche will do it in a way where you won't notice.
Mm.
You know, unless you're, you know, it'll be great. Like I'm telling you, this Valkyrie thing I drove, you would never in a billion years know it was a hybrid. And also, they were able to do cool stuff like, they got rid of the synchros on the in the gearbox, and the hybrid motor just synchronizes the gears. It literally stops going forward traction for like a blip of a millisecond, grabs the gear, slots it in, and then retakes over powering the car.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. Just insane. So I'm you know, bring it on. Bring it on. And don't sell your GT2 RS.
No, we had to.
You sold it?
Yeah. It's been gone for years.
No. Oh, okay. The one that Z has.
That was a plan.
But Z still has the white one.
Plan three, we call it. We had a three-way.
And the guy got divorced.
With our friend Moise.
That's the best.
And he was abusing the car. We'd get it back with holes in it. And then his marriage unfortunately fell apart and he had to sell his cars, which is a horrible. One of his cars was our cars and he was like, buy me out. Zuckerman's like, I already have another one. Just be part of that one. So I guess I can drive that car as much as I want, but it's not chalk.
No, it's white.
That chalk car was just a magic being. But I was looking forward to that pang of regret being erased from my brain.
Yeah. I bet you the new one is just off. I just have a hunch.
Yeah, you're right. No, awesome. I know. Everything's great. Yeah. Everything they do is great.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Look, I always tell this story. Like I was reading through like press articles from the, I think it was the 1963 Geneva or Munich show where the 901 debuted. And the press's initial reaction to it was, oh my God, Porsche's ruined the brand. It has four seats. It's so big. What are the extra cylinders for? Ah, sky is falling. And that was before anyone had driven the 911.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like every time they do anything.
I don't think the brand's going away. I'm just saying, I like that GT2 RS. I was looking for a slightly better version of it.
This could be the slightly better version.
As long as it doesn't have a charge port.
It might, because, you know, the other thing, like the Ferrari, you don't need to ever charge it, but it does have one.
Right.
So, because
so it's like the 918.
The 918.
But it has a charge port, 918.
Remember the SF90?
Yeah.
So it's that minus two. The front wheels aren't motorized. So it's the same kind of thing with a smaller engine. But
you're in an interesting car.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the driveway right now.
Three motors.
I was where was it? Barker Hangar a couple years ago. Invited by these folks just to look at it. Mm. I could just look at it, walk around it, and see it. The electric Hummer.
Yes. GMC Hummer EV.
Are they all white? They all seem to be the same color. Yeah.
This is one of the launch ones. So this thing already has 8,000 miles on it.
And this has been out for a while, right?
It's been out for like 18 months. Well, sort of. They're having a hard time building. They can't get batteries. GM, like Cadillac, the Lyric just is starting to come out. So they got some weird thing happening.
But so what do you have it for?
Just running around playing with it.
And how long have you had it?
Since Monday. Today's Saturday.
Wow.
So shot a video with
it. Give us some broad strokes. You charge it up and how much range do you have?
350 miles. However, it's a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack, which is so massive. So like a Tesla Model S is like 105 or 99 or whatever. They just took two normal car battery packs and stacked them. And so it takes forever to charge on a home charger. You know, like I had it, I got home with like 8% of the battery left.
Right.
Plugged it in at approximately 7 p.m. Might have been 8 p.m., but I think it was 7 p.m. Unplugged it at about 6 a.m. the next morning and it was at 60%.
Wow.
Now 60% is 200 miles. So, you know, but it wasn't dead in the water.
That's not what you want.
You gotta have access to a 350 kilowatt level 3 charger. That said, it makes 1,000 horsepower. It makes 1,200 pound-feet of torque. Wow. It weighs 9,000 pounds.
Oh, my God.
It has 16 inches of ground clearance. It has full rear steering. So not only can it, like, it has the same turning radius as a Chevy Bolt, and it has this insane crab walk feature.
Yeah.
Where the rear wheels will move in the same direction as the front wheels when you're off-road. So let's say you come to a boulder. But if you back up, you damage the car. You can then just turn on crab mode and diagonally just move away from it rather than having to like,
is it
turn.
Quiet?
It's quiet. It's dead quiet until like about 70 miles an hour. And then the windshield's straight up and down. And it's like a G-Wagon. It just,
right.
You know, it's just going to make that kind of
noise. How tall is it?
It goes up and down on the suspension. So
am I getting into parking garages with it?
You can drop it to the floor. It's on air suspension.
Yeah.
So you can jack it up 16 inches. You can drop it down probably to like 9 inches of ground clearance. It's smaller than you'd think. Like, you know, it's parked next to your Defender. It doesn't look that big. And it's like 3 or 4 inches wider. It's probably shorter than your Defender.
Do you like it?
I'm kind of in love with it. I'm you know, anything with 1,200 pound feet of torque, I'm sort of a
9,000 pounds. That's really pounds. Heavy. So what is the Rivian by comparison?
7,200 pounds. Mm. So it's
also up there.
It's big. Rivian's big.
Boy, what happens when you smash into somebody with 9,000 pounds?
Oh, you fucking annihilate them, man. They're gone. It's not your problem.
Like one of those little smart cars.
Oh, smart car, Honda Accord. She'd kill him.
Oh, man.
But, you know, 9,000 pounds is a lot. That said, you know, you ever seen a dually, like a F-350, yeah. F-4? Those weigh 9,000 pounds.
Right. I haven't seen, I think I saw Jay-Z in one when they first came out.
I'm starting
and
to
that
see.
Was the, this is the second one I've seen on this on the west side here.
I saw Ashton Kutcher in one in the Valley 18 months ago. But Amelia, they had a bunch of black ones running around. They're
cool.
GM cars. I've seen them in different colors. I saw a red one. They look better not in white. The white's too show car.
And, yeah.
So they're starting to come. But they've just had a hard time selling them, and then or not selling them, making them, selling them. This one's 110 grand, and the dealers are asking for 100,000 over.
Come on.
Swear.
Oh, that's not right.
Well.
Do they have any cool little tricks? Like in the Rivian, they have all this guy gear stuff, flashlights in the door and like frying pans in the electric pole stove.
No. It's got two American flags hidden on it.
It's got nothing, right?
I mean, the roof panels, all four of them pop off.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was very much like the 82 Targa I have, where you can take off that top and they collapse. You put them in little bags and put them in the boot.
Yeah.
Boot. Exact same principle.
Yeah.
Very light.
Yeah. Yeah. So unlike, say, a Jeep or a Bronco, these are super high quality. Like I think they don't let much sound in. You know, because like the Jeep and Bronco roof panels feel like Rubbermaid crap. I mean, they're totally cheap. These are really nice, actually. So it's got a good interior. Yeah, I mean, it just takes forever to charge, and it's not efficient. I mean, it's just.
But in that way, it's like the original Hummer. It's still kind of a bad boy.
It's really bad. I think it's the least efficient EV you can buy. It's less efficient than
a Taycan. That's good that they preserve some of that.
Yeah. But 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat, 3.0.
Really?
Yeah. So
wow.
The mode is called, it's WTF, Watts to Freedom, which obviously was supposed to be what the fuck.
And yeah, yeah.
You can't call it what the fuck. You can't say WTF. No, it stands for Watts to Freedom.
It's too bad they couldn't have made it what the fuck mode. You know, exactly what it needs, fun.
And then when you do this mode, it's ludicrous. It literally drops the rear suspension so the nose is pointed in the air, and that's how it takes off, so all the weight's already shifted back.
Right.
And if you do it at night, the headlights go so far off the ground that if you're looking forward, you can't see suddenly because it's like...
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and the other thing I really enjoy is in the custom mode, you can like leave it like the steering for street, the accelerator for street, but you can put the suspension in like the trophy truck. So when you accelerate, it rears back. When you hit the brakes, it does an endo. So it's fun to drive around, you know. So it's cool. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. Like, I've really been having fun with it.
Let me ask you a dumb listener question.
Yes.
And this isn't one of their questions, but it's a question like they would ask.
Yes.
And forgive me, listeners, for insulting you. If I offered you a choice.
Yes.
Right now.
Right now.
Between your Rivian and that car.
Yes.
They're both free.
Yes.
But you can only pick one.
You can only pick one.
What are you picking, Johnny?
Boy, it's close.
Really?
It's close. I think Rivian, just because it's just the size is better for me. Off-road.
I can't believe it took you that long to say that. I thought for sure you would say Rivian quickly, but now that tells me how good this truck is.
I had so much fun off-roading this thing because it's like, because of that rear steering. So the Rivian is great off-road, except that it's a truck and it's long.
Mm-hmm.
So like you do have to do a lot of three-point turns, which I hate, because of the rear steering on this. Like, if you could do Rivian with rear steering, Rivian all day. But because of the rear steering, you can make these ridiculous turns in this monster truck. And then 1,200 pound-feet of torque, so it's flying around.
I got to drive it.
It's really cool. You got to take it off-road. If you get it,
I'm
you gotta
falling go behind on all press cars. I want to drive the Rivian SUV. I would like to drive this GMC. I've got to drive that Ferrari. I keep forgetting
the Ferrari them. Is the best of everything.
But, you know, to be honest with you, I have not. I've been only driving the Metacycle, the Saunders Metacycle, and my truck, because it's been raining.
Yeah.
It's just been raining. The Zagato is right downstairs. And
don't drive it in the rain.
It's been sitting there for 2 weeks in there, and
my buddy crashed.
Looking at it and feeling bad.
My buddy crashed his 911 yesterday.
No.
Yeah, just
Where?
He lives out in like Calabasas area.
What kind of 911?
New one, convertible. It's his wife's
car. What happened?
Just went off the road in the rain. Just nothing big.
And what did he hit?
Not to the ditch. He just went into a ditch.
Oof.
Yeah.
It was a low day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, but we had lunch with, we were hanging out in the middle of the day. He sends me pictures of his car in a ditch, and I was like, he's like, I only drove my wife's car because it's the only thing that can handle the rain. And he's like, well, I guess it can't handle the rain. So, yeah, don't drive the Zagato in the rain, is what I'm trying to tell you. You know
this
that.
It's reminding me of my lowest crash.
Oh.
My lowest moment.
Which was?
In the Conda Green 70S, all original chalk marks on the engine, 6,000 original miles.
Sounds valuable.
In the middle of a writer's strike. And getting the news at the studio, I was doing my late night show. We may not have a season. Very stressful day. So I drove down the 405, left Hollywood, went to the hangar, picked up that car to kind of blow off some steam. Get on the on-ramp from Bundy right there. And as I'm pulling up, there's a guy starts racing me, a kid in a Jeep. He doesn't want to let me in. And I'm not right in my head, and I blast it, right? It's a bad little place because people are trying to go right to get on the 405.
Oh, yeah.
And the other people are trying to go down to the 10, go downtown, and I get in front of him, and he flips me off, and I jump into the left lane too quickly, and a welding truck just bashes into the back of my car. I gave that guy, I was racing, so much happiness in that moment. He was so happy. He went, laughed out the window, pissed up.
I mean, good for him.
He was so happy, and I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. And, months later, that car was better than new.
There you go. All right.
I sold it. I told him what had happened. It was better than new. I managed to punch out. It was a massive dent, and I don't even like thinking about it. Every once in a while, the picture, worse than that birthing than the picture, is that car violent. Goes across my screen, and I feel pain. But
do you want it back?
Oh, that car I'd buy back in a second.
Why'd you sell it? Oh, go ahead.
I just,
yeah,
buy and sell all the time. Who knows? But I said to the insurance people, and I said to the guy who was doing the work, you've got to preserve all panels. I don't care how long it takes you with a little hammer, preserve the panel. And they took everything. I think we had a lens. That's the only thing we had to source, was an OEM light lens, brake lens in the back. The rest of it was all the original stuff.
How long did it take?
As long as it took.
Did you remember?
There's no rush.
Approximately how long it took?
I don't even remember. I do remember we did a little work on sealing. I mean, again, my experience with this stuff is, yes, there's a big, painful day, but I get a better car back at a certain point.
Yeah.
Because I said, the transmission's got some issues.
Right.
Why don't we reseal that? Why don't you pull apart the engine a little bit and reseal that? Let's do it all at once.
Right, while you're in there.
And then you get this thing back that's incredible. But, that was a 13-year. I had that car for 13 years.
What color was it?
Conda Green.
Oh, yeah.
Conda. Jerry has the exact same car. He's not an idiot. He didn't sell his. And we would drive them together.
He has more hangar space than you.
We would drive them together and way more money. And we would drive them together, and I would look across at him and his car, and I'd go, oh, I really want that car.
And you're in the car.
His had 3,000 more miles.
Oh! And
just to wrap up the show, both of them had passed under the nose of Bert Olander from Circle Porsche.
Wow.
That fellow we were talking about in the beginning, he knew both cars. They were both Vashok Polak cars.
Wow.
I had plate frames for it too.
Mm.
And I had the original blue plates on it. And I was so young in my collecting days, and I saw these old blue plates, and I thought, I don't want those. I want fresh new plates. And I re-registered it. But I still have those.
Oh.
But that decision was a huge mistake.
Sure.
I see those in the hangar, and I go, what? And again, you see the pain?
Yeah. Well, you learn.
Are you getting a little idea of what it's like to be me? The regret?
How horrible.
I can't let the past go. I punish myself with my car mistakes all the time.
Well.
It is horrible.
You're doing okay.
I know.
I am. Just with the guy.
I'm just trying to relate to the audience because we all do this dumb shit with our cars.
With the guy laughing, I was on Decker. I was in a Jag F-Type.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, I don't remember the state. I just remember it was a car full of girls, and they're going 19 miles an hour. And you know how windy Decker is, you know, so I'm just like not getting around him. And I'm just on their bumper, like, just please pull over. And they're just like, woo, like taking selfies, doing their thing. Mm-hmm. But the 19 miles an hour. So finally I get around them, you know, double yellow the whole way. But probably a Mulholland. I just like, you know, just ran the stop sign, got around them. A few miles later, I get pulled over. They pass. They are so joyous at me getting this ticket. They're just like, fuck you. The whole car full of girls like, woo! Good for you, officer. Yes. He's an asshole.
Yes. Yes, yes. I've been on both sides of that one.
Yeah, it was. I was just like, ugh.
I stop and I go, hey, officer, you know what else he did? Yes, sir. Can you stay away from me? No, let me just tell you what this guy's been doing. I'm not interested.
Right. Well, yeah.
And then I've been that guy too. Oh. I've seen them stop and they go by and they just laugh at me.
It was like, it was four girls in an out of state car just laughing there. I'm in a red Jaguar convertible, you know, just pulled over.
Yeah, you deserved it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they also just 19 miles an hour.
Do you do that move too where you're like, oh, and you rev the engine as you go by? I'm like, rah. I'm proving my point that you're driving too slowly.
I may or may not have, but that car was so loud. It was the six-cylinder, the supercharged V6, which was like so pointlessly loud. One of the loudest cars ever. I had it for a year. I get pulled over constantly where the cops are like, I heard you speeding. I'm like, you didn't see me though, did you?
I know.
No, but I heard you. I'm like, listen.
Yeah, you can get off that ticket.
Yeah.
I get off that ticket.
Yeah.
That's an easy ticket.
They didn't ever give me the ticket, but they'd pull me over. And I'm like, just listen to the car. You know, they're like, rah! It's a V6.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show, gentlemen and ladies. And I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it wherever you are in your car, driving around on your trip in the airport more and more around the world, in Suriname, in Guatemala, in Dubai. Where else do they listen to us? Scandinavia, Japan.
Did we say Sri Lanka?
Sri Lanka. We do very well in Sri Lanka, Australia, of course, and England and Canada and all our friends there in New York.
Not so much Korea and Israel, but we'll
figure that.
Korea and Israel, not so much.
No, Korea, we were doing a little better. It's week to week. It depends who's on. I should actually do a map, a schematic, and find out like what when I get Zuckerman and Johnny. Let's see.
Korea hates Seinfeld.
I would guess it's just a language barrier.
Well, the Israel
we watch
one,
Squid Games. I mean,
but the Israel one. Trust me, they speak English. I don't know what that's about. There's 52 car podcasts that are better to Israelis than this one. Really.
That's a good point.
You know, really?
Maybe there are. Maybe they have a booming business of Israeli podcasts about cars. Why not?
Could you imagine a Jewier car podcast than this one? You know,
yeah.
Shlomo and Herschel on.
I totally can. I'm not Jewish.
But you have me, you have Zuckerman, you have Seinfeld, you have Farrah.
Matt Farrah.
I mean, you know, you got half
of me. You have a
minion.
Quarter of me. You have my nose.
I got your
and
nose.
My family history.
And Bill. And we, I mean... Like,
yeah, Bill's Jewish, right?
Yeah, no, every whole show, Moise.
What is that? I don't know.
I'm just saying you'd think Israel, you know.
Maybe not. I've never been. I don't know what they're like over there.
I've never been either, but I know a lot of Israelis. And
yeah, they kind of scare you.
They're frightening and loud, but...
You don't mess with them.
No, they all know how to take you apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I watched that. I'm filtering it all through Fauda. That is my...
Yeah, that's Israel.
Israel. That's what I think. These guys will go the distance to defend their country, and that's fine.
It's guys that look like Zuckerman running around sideways shooting other people in the head. That's all it is. Hey, you! Pop, 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 pop. Come here, you maggot. Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, totally. That's it. All right. Well, we'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.